The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and James Millman are with you on the latest edition. Looking forward to the rest of Sunday's action. And it's a very nice Sunday indeed. Not too much racing, but plenty of quality in both codes. Chepstow and Goodwood, the two domestic meetings. Also good action over at Cork and Naas as well. Tune into all the action live on William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday from 1:10. Darren Owen, the man in the presenter's chair with John Budden and... John O'Connell. No, it's not John Budden. It's John O'Connell and Rory DeLaghi.
Excellent stuff.
Sorry, Lord Budden, if you're listening. You don't have to come in. It's okay.
Don't make him panic now.
No. It's James Millman with me. Hi, James.
Hello, Alex Dunn.
Good racing tomorrow.
Excellent racing. Chepstow, traditionally the Saturday, was always at the start of the jump season for me when I was younger. Now they've really extended this meeting. 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and some excellent racing ahead. Plenty of rain around at Chepstow as well, so good soft ground means... all these jumpers are able to make their seasonal debuts as such, and you've got a few have been on the go over the summer.
The Persian War Novices Hurdle, often regarded as, you know, one of the key races to start the jump season, and it's different for everybody, isn't it? For me, it's more the Charlie Hall in a few weeks' time, but different people have different... I mean, there's been some fantastic jumps racing so far, even on midweek meetings.
Yeah, definitely. Newton Abbott had some cracking racing yesterday, and as long as there's been rain around, obviously we saw at Worcester bit of debacle, the rain never arrived and the ground was too quick, which last year was the issue. We had a very, very dry autumn and it meant a lot of horses had to delay their runs to a little bit later on in the season, but luckily there's been enough rain around to enable these good jumpers to make their return.
We're not going to focus on the Persian War Novices Hurdle as such, but there's 10 runners in that, James, and it looks really wide open for a change, that there isn't one standout quality
there
horse.
Could be though.
Yeah, there could be.
Vision de Floss.
Okay.
One run, one win. Representing Colin Tizard, Alan Potts and Brian Cooper in his new role. Luckily, they had a bit of a confidence boost. The Fiends Oscar won very nicely today. Horse that was careful over his fences, I think, on debut, but job done. And I think this Vision de Flot is a very interesting runner tomorrow for the Tizards in the Persian War. But like you say, an open race, which is why I've not chosen it for my two podcast events.
No, that's fine. We'll get to the Nap and the Next Best very shortly. You mentioned today's events, obviously recording this on Saturday afternoon. And... we've seen some impressive displays so far today. US Navy Flag won the Dewhurst very impressively.
Yep. Impressive in the 1-2-3-4 for Aidan O'Brien in the Dewhurst. Obviously, myself included, was expecting Expert Eye to reproduce the good performance where he looked a proper machine. He's had a setback. He didn't run in the National Stakes, 74 days off a track, and he's run abysmally today. He's actually finished last of the 9 runners, so it's not a true him, but unfortunately, it wasn't a particularly great Dewhurst. Cracking ride from Ryan Moore on US Navy Flag, but anyone that was listening to William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday afternoon, I did put up Mendelssohn at 50-1
as
my selection, and he finished second, but grabbed that stands rail, followed Ryan through, and was always going to run okay then, but what strength and depth there was for Dewhurst. For me, the winner... who obviously won the grade, Group 1, sorry, Middle Park, over 6 furlongs. I think he's probably more of a Commonwealth Cup horse, I think, rather than a Guineas horse for next year. Certainly not any further than that. But 11th run this year is a really busy year. But related to Roly Purly, full brother, and that was very tough. And she's won Group 1s this year as well. So can't say that he won't be a Group 1 performer next year, but... I don't think it was as strong as the Dewhurst.
And we are recording this just after the Cesarewitch, which was as, well, on paper, looked as competitive as always. And looking at this race over the last few days, you know, you're looking at every single runner and there didn't seem to be anything with standout claims. But someone clearly knew something because Withhold was really strongly backed, particularly on the day of the race. And the favourite went on to land the spoils and won really easily for Roger Charlton. And Sylvester D'Souza, who's got a real love affair with the race.
Yeah. Withhold made a really eye-catching return 3 weeks ago, finishing third at Newbury when I think needed around a little bit. Put him spot on. He sneaked into this contest off nearly bottom weight. Sylvester D'Souza on board, and he won very, very nicely. Impressive effort.
and a nice effort. London Prize in second, who's run another cracking race. And London Prize, all of a sudden, is to be feared in any race that it goes for.
Yep, hurdles, flat, whatever, maybe go over fences at some point, you never know. But London Prize, cracking ride from James Doyle. Jockey due to initiative, he went over, grabbed that stands rail, he's beaten the rest of the field by 5 lengths. That was probably a race-winning move in any kind of scenario, but unfortunately with Hold, had plenty in hand.
And went on to win very nicely indeed. And there's been plenty of other top-quality action from all kinds of meetings on Saturday, so well done if you did manage to find a winner somewhere. It's been typically competitive, I would say. Fingers crossed we can point you in the direction of a winner for Sunday. So as we said, we're going to focus on two races at Chepstow. One is the Knapp, one is the Next Best. One is the 3:25, the other is the 4:35. We'll start with the Next Best. Where's the Next Best running? Which one?
That's the first one.
Okay, 3:25, which is a veterans handicap chase over almost 3 miles. And I love these races.
Got the old favourites in reaction.
Well, it's old favourites. And also, you can, with all due respect,
you can sympathise with your grey hairs, can't you, Alex?
I've got many grey hairs, but we'll have less of that, thank you, James. There's some who who have maintained the enthusiasm for the game. There's some that are slightly less enthusiastic, it's fair to say.
Yeah, again, probably comparison to us. Some are enthusiastic and some aren't. I'll probably go for the latter category. But Double Ross is one that is enthusiastic, and that is the Next Best selection for tomorrow. Veterans races are now a possibility. From when you saw him on three occasions last year, but one of them was in this race a year ago. Only 8 ran, was a little bit less competitive, but off a mark of 147, £1 lower than what he is tomorrow. He got a job done, and Chepstow's a pretty unique track. The odd undulations don't suit everyone. So the fact that he won well fresh last year, you'd imagine he's been targeted at this contest. And his form thereafter was still pretty decent in his other two starts. So for me, he's the class angle. I don't think he's one of those older horses that has lost that enthusiasm. Like you say, a few of them are a little bit jaded. Has got top weight, but he had top weight last year. And for me, Double Ross got a good chance.
And does have a superb record fresh, doesn't he? He's, I mean, 323 days is one heck of a layoff, but
it's an Nigel Tristan Davis. Jumpers nowadays, they can get them fit. And yeah, like you say, you're pointing out he's got a great record fresh, and he's taken on older horses, and like I say, some of them do need that first run back. So there's lots in Double Ross's favour.
Okay, Double Ross then gets the nod. That's the Next Best for
the Next
James
Best, that
in
one.
The 3:25. That means the Knapp's coming up in the 4:35, which is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. This one looks pretty different, I would say. There's a lot of horses here with credible credentials.
Yeah, I'm going to go for another old favourite, Village Vic, the 10-year-old. Last year, ran in some really strong competitive handicaps. Really decent level, even tried at a graded contest on occasion. Real tough game front runner. Small field at Chepstow with 9 runners compared to the races he was running in last year. Slight drop in grade. Again, he goes well fresh. One at the track. Lots in his favour. I think he's got an excellent chance. Size and Granite, obviously interesting. One last time out. A little bit in and out. Very much a classy horse in his day. And the Tizards have had a winner, obviously Finian's Oscar off the mark. He's a danger, but I never know what Size and Granite's going to turn up. Whereas Village Vic, you know he's going to give his all. I just think a slightly easier contest perhaps than what he was racing in last year. After having such a good start to the season, this is probably the easiest task he's had in a long time.
Just a couple to mention. I mean, Different Gravy was a nice prospect. He's now with Polly Gundry, has moved from Nicky Henderson. Arthur's Oak, another one who's moved, formerly with Venetia Williams, now with Dan Skelton. They'd obviously be pretty interesting on their return, as would Double Shuffle for Tom George, who's sort of carved out a reputation as just being really, really steady and consistent. And when he does get beat, it's normally in races he's very much expected to get beaten in.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fascinating race. $35,000. Chepstow have put on decent prize money this weekend. We've got, well, we've got two $35,000 races, a $30,000 and a $20,000. They've been rewarded with a really, really strong field. So, deserved. It is competitive, but it's not Cheltenham class, which Village Vic generally runs in. So I think it's slightly easier, and I think he can get the job done.
Okay. That was my phone that just went off, James.
It was unprofessional, wasn't it, really?
Very unprofessional.
Not
Do you
me.
Know, I've worked here for...
Is that the first time it's happened?
5 years, and that's the first time my phone has ever gone off loudly.
Loudly.
Vibrate, it's fine. You know, you can deal with that. So apologies to everyone concerned.
Oh, no.
I want to apologise to my parents. I feel like I've let everybody down.
You have indeed.
Just one other to mention. That's Roman de Senam. Just a 5-year-old for Paul Nicholls, and has got bits and pieces of good form. You never know with these... these French ones, whether they are whether they've already peaked on
exactly
at the age
they
of
peak,
five.
They peak very soon generally, yeah. Especially ones that have had a busy start to their careers. He is half the age of Village Vic, only got 10 stone 1, and then Nichols' team are making a really good start to the proper season, so I wouldn't rule him out, but he's no Village Vic for me.
Okay. Village Vic then, the nap selection for James Milman on a superb Sunday of racing. Make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio for all of the best of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.